Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. While you're turning, I'm going to read one other verse to you in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse number 8. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 4, we'll read this passage responsively. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And I'm going to read yet two other verses to you. Matthew chapter 27, verses 7 and 8. You need not turn there. Matthew chapter 28, verses 7 and 8. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a church where our God is not dead, and our Savior is not in a grave somewhere. Lord, people all over the world will worship a God that is dead and go to its grave and see the remains, and yet when we would go to Jerusalem and Israel, we would find that the grave's empty, because up from the grave you came, you conquered death to prove you're God. Father, thank you for that, that we have life eternal because of it. Now fill our preacher today with your power. Lord, please fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our lives, our eternities, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'd never feel obligated on what we might call a national holiday to bring a sermon that coincides with that holiday. For instance, I don't think I have to preach a resurrection sermon this morning. For some of you, it's the only kind of sermon you ever hear, and so sometimes I think, well, I'll preach something else on Easter so you hear something other than a resurrection sermon once a year. But today, because of a conversation that I had with the Lord, I'm going to preach a resurrection sermon. That because, as I was studying through the passage, I actually said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if I'm going to preach on the resurrection, I'd like to preach on something that is not the same old. I'd like you to show me a little something unique in the Scripture. And indeed, he did. The doctrine of the resurrection is not just a doctrine to be studied and admired. It is a doctrine that ought to change our lives. We earlier read three different passages of Scripture, one from John 20, another from Matthew 28, and yet another from Mark 16, all about the resurrection. It is, today is what we in the world call Easter. It would be better labeled Resurrection Sunday. Today, I'm not going to waste my time debating with you the resurrection, because I'll make it real clear. He arose. And around here, we don't spend our time debating it, trying to convince people. We just live it and believe it. It's a done deal. It's a done deal, and I'm not going to spend the next 45 minutes trying to convince you Jesus got up out of that grave. I'll just tell you real simply. If this old black book said he got up out of the grave, he got up out of the grave. It's a done deal. Signed, sealed, and delivered. All taken care of. You say, I don't believe it. That's your problem then. You will believe it one day. You'll wish you would have believed it. But I'm not going to spend my time debating the resurrection. I come to you today noticing the behavior of his followers due to the resurrection, or because of the resurrection. I preached a sermon here a couple of years ago on Easter morning called You Live Like He's Dead. And that's part of the problem. You know, we live like he stayed in the grave instead of live like he's alive. The resurrection is not merely to be loved by us, it is to be lived by us. The resurrection is not to be merely remembered by us, but its purpose is to be reignited by us. I have preached about the resurrection many times. I have read about the resurrection many times. I have examined the story of the resurrection many times, but never had I noticed before the truth that I'm going to share with you today. Before I get to that actual truth, let me share with you other scriptures that will associate with today's sermon. For instance, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain." 1 Corinthians 9:26 says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fought I, not as one that beateth the air." Let me go on. Galatians 5:7 said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you?" Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." In these passages, we read the word run, runneth, running each time. Now, in the passages that we read earlier with the help of Dr. Bush, you notice here that it is the morning of the resurrection. Jesus had been crucified. Jesus had been buried. It's early in the morning, and Jesus' followers go to the grave. Most of you have heard the story over and over again. When they arrive at the grave or the tomb is empty. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene was the first to arrive there. There was also there another Mary, and then a lady by the name of Salome. An angel tells the women, "Go tell the others." Peter and John, they run to the grave, the Bible says, even to the point that the Bible even points out to us that John outran Peter to the grave. But the grave is empty. Now, the part of this story that I've never noticed before is this. Everybody there, they're running. Everybody there, they're running. Mary Magdalene, the Bible says, if you look at it, it's very clear. She runs to go get Peter. She was the first one there. She ran back to get Peter. Salome runs to go get John. The other Mary, she's running with them. Peter runs to the tomb. John runs to the tomb with Peter, and they're in a foot race, and John actually outruns Peter to the tomb. You say, what's going on here? They're pumped. I mean, these people are cranked up. I'll guarantee it. They're not walking. They're not nonchalant. They're not strolling. There's actually a foot race going on here. I mean, I don't know how you have pictured the resurrection or this setting before, but I've seen it a little bit differently as the scripture began to unfold to me. I got to thinking, these people, they are excited. Something is going on here. This was not a quiet, slow, depressing morning. Oh no. Wasn't that way at all. They were experiencing pure spiritual adrenaline. They had true, holy, fired up excitement. I call today's sermon running because of the resurrection. Running because of the resurrection. Why were they running? Why were these people running? Well, I think that when they discovered that the tomb was empty and Jesus had arisen from the grave, I think they ran to go influence the unbelievers. You know, there had been prediction that Jesus would get up out of the grave, but there were a bunch of unbelievers. There were lost people. People were on their way to hell. And they all doubted it and probably talked behind the disciples back, saying, "Them bunch of quacks, talking about this Savior there getting up out of the grave." I can picture the disciples arriving at the grave and the grave being empty and somebody saying, "I'm going down. I'm going to go tell the guys that were teasing me and mocking me. I'm going to go tell the lost people. He did it." They were excited. Why all the running? Well, I think they ran to encourage the other brethren. Not only did they run to influence the lost about the resurrection of the Christ, but also there were the brethren. And I think, look, there are always those people that, oh, they go to church, they hear the Scripture, but for some reason they don't believe it. They don't believe it. They live their life in a depressed spiritual stupor, and they think life's all about them, and so they stare at themselves all the time, so they're depressed all the time, and they're down all the time, and they don't really look up and see what God can do for them, and the victory and the joy that's available. I believe these people, they got to running because they not only wanted to go influence the lost, but I think they wanted to go influence some down and out saved people. I think they said, guess what? I know somebody right now, they're depressed again. And I think somebody said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go find somebody and say, he did it. He did it. He's alive. He's well. It's okay. Why were they running? Well, they went to the lost. I think they went to the Christians that needed encouragement. I think they ran because the resurrection was worth running about. I think it's worth getting energized about. I think it's worth getting excited about. You see, hey, we'll run for many things. Hey, you out there, any of you have any energy about yourself? You'll run for fame. If you think you could get a little fame, if you could get a little attention, if you could be in the limelight, if you could go to the top of the totem pole, if you could get your name on the stationery, if you could be the big dog, you'll run to get that. We'll run for fame. We'll run for money. Well, you dang it, money for the average person is like a carrot dangling out in front of the donkey. He wants that. We'll run for money. We'll run for fame. We'll run for prestige. We'll run for power. We'll run. Hey, if you thought that somebody would look up to you and think that you're better than somebody else, you'll run to get that. Well, I believe that these people are running, and they're not running for fame. They're not running for money. They're not running for prestige. They're not running for power. They're not running. Hey, they believed that whatever had taken place, which was the resurrection, that it merited urgency more than all the other things of life. They ran because they wanted to obey the Holy Spirit's direction quickly and spread the word. Hey, shouldn't we run at the beckon of the Holy Spirit of God? Shouldn't we run when we see those things that God said, that is important? They ran because to walk or to go slow would show disconcern for Jesus, His resurrection, and His purpose. They wanted everybody to know, hey, what happened there that morning was worth running about. It was worth running for. It was more worth running about that, getting excited about that, than all the treasures, the fame, the wealth that this world has to offer. They were running at the resurrection. I never seen it before. I never noticed it before. And I was reading through there, and I kept seeing the word run, runneth, quickly. Hey, they were excited. They were excited about this thing that had taken place. You know something? You and I, we too ought to be excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ought to get excited about it. But then I got to thinking, I wonder why these specific people were running. And you'll see it in a moment. There were some specific people that were running. And I think there's some specific reasons why the resurrection empowered, energized, cranked up, pumped up these particular people in a special way. For instance, let me show you. Number one, Mary Magdalene. She ran about the resurrection. She ran the morning of the resurrection. The Bible says in John 20, verse 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. You say, why? That's her. That's Mary Magdalene running. Now Magdalene, you see, she was fired up about this resurrection. Here's a woman. She goes to the tomb. She finds it empty. And she gets pumped up. She gets a spiritual adrenaline rush over that thing. And why? Well, I'll tell you why. You know who she used to be? She used to be a whore. She used to be a prostitute. Mary Magdalene, she was a wicked woman. She had a scarred conscience, you might say. She had not had good rearing. She had spent her life in the area where they lived, and she had prostituted herself. She had hurt herself. She had treated herself dirty and others dirty. And Jesus came along prior to the resurrection, and He had saved her. You see, all along, Jesus had been teaching her that salvation could give her the power to overcome her past. He'd been teaching her that.
He said, look, Jesus had taught Mary Magdalene, I can help you to have the power to overcome whatever it is that you must face. And I'm sure that she said to Jesus, Jesus, you don't have to overcome what I have to overcome. You've never sinned, but I have. You've never been locked down by sin, but I have. And you save me and you tell me that you can give me the power to overcome anything. You've never had to overcome anything like I do. They put him in the grave. They sealed up that grave, and Mary Magdalene said, oh boy, oh, he was my encourager. Oh, he was my encourager, and now he's gone. I'll guarantee you something. The moment she went to that empty tomb, and she went there, and she seen it was empty, she said, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. If he had the power to get up out of that grave, he had been the one that had told me that my wicked, nasty past could be overcome by the power of Jesus Christ. Now he showed me if he can overcome that, I think that gives me the courage to believe that I can overcome. Hey, is your past wicked? Is your past filthy? And you say, no, I'm saved, but I got a nasty past. I've not had a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I recommend something to you? Could I get you to take a good old look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ? The resurrection of Christ shows you you can overcome. If he can overcome the grave, you can overcome a sinful past. If he can overcome the grave, you can overcome a filthy testimony in days gone by. If he can overcome the grave, you can overcome all the things that would weigh you down. See, I believe there's a reason why this woman was cranked up. I think there's a reason why. You got to understand it. She had lived a very filthy past, and he'd been telling her, you can overcome. You can live right now that you're saved. I wonder how many people never truly claim the power that's available to them after salvation to straighten up their life. Now, you don't straighten up your life to get saved. God does all the saving. You just let him. But you start straightening up your life after you get saved. And some of you say, I don't think I can. Well, let me tell you something. By yourself, you can't. But with the help of Jesus Christ, you can. And you say, but why do you think so? Look, if he can overcome the grave, he can help you to overcome you. Mary went down. She went down to that tomb. And she looked in there. It was empty. And I think something happened inside Mary. And she said, wow, I can do it. I can do it. I can overcome. And she took off running. So the Bible says, out of there. She said, whoa, this is exciting. She said, I can overcome. You know what? There's some of you who say, boy, this guy, he's full of energy. You get full of energy when you're drunk and high and on the dance floor. Don't be upset with me because I get excited about Jesus. I don't wake up paranoid the next morning. I have no hangover on Easter morning. And as wild as I am, I'm not helping your headache, am I? Oh, Mary Magdalene, why are you excited? Please tell us. Mary, why are you running? She darted out of the graveyard. She ran. Well, I can tell you one reason why. Because I believe that Mary Magdalene realized that if Jesus Christ could overcome the grave, she could overcome her past reputation. She could overcome her vices and her bad habits. She could overcome the bitterness and the hurts from the past. Jesus has now overcome death and the grave, and she sees the example he has just set about being an overcomer. And the same is true of you. Hey, son, you need to put on your Adidas running shoes and start and realize you can have victory in your life. You can live right. If he has the power to resurrect, you have the power through him to resurrect your life and do something great with it. So I don't care who you are and what your past life is. If you're a born-again Christian, we can fix you up, clean you up, and we can get you on track. And so you're welcome here. You say, I'm a backslidden Christian. Well, you know what? Won't you run down here to this altar today and get right with God and say, I'm no longer running alone. I've got a running partner. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he can overcome death, I can overcome my life. My life. Oh, that's why she was running. She was running. But wait, there's somebody else that is at the tomb. There's somebody else. Who is it? Peter? They're all by the name of Peter. John chapter 20, verse number 4, the Bible says, so they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Here's Peter running. Mary was running, the Bible says. Now Peter's running. You say, why? Well, I believe that Peter was having a spiritual rush about this time. I believe that Peter, Peter was a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody find a seat and sit down and be still. We got people moving around everywhere. But this isn't a theater, folks. This is preaching. Look this way, and if you have an emergency, I understand, but please look this way. What's going on here with Peter? What's actually happening here with this fellow by the name of Peter? Why is Peter running? I believe I know why Peter's running. Peter had in his heart a desire to serve God. I know Peter messed up here and there, but you notice Peter was like a cat. He always landed on his feet. He messed up and fell. He always got back up and said, I want to serve God. I want to serve God. I want to do something with my life. And I believe Peter was a servant of God. And when Peter ran, he was so excited. Why? Peter was a part of Jesus' workforce. He was a participator, not just a spectator, see? He ran because he was so excited about the power that the resurrection proved and provided for Peter to help him do the work of God. Power for service to God. You see, Philippians 3:10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You see, the resurrection would empower Peter. And I think there's a reason why Peter was all pumped. I think there's a reason why Peter had that spiritual adrenaline rush. There's a reason why Peter wasn't dead. Just dead, walking along, dead. No, that was not Peter. Something happened. There was a tingle. And I've got a feeling the tingle started in his heart and quickly went down to his toes. And I think it's just about, he was standing there realizing, oh my. He said, you know what this means? I have the power to do something great for God. He took off. He took off. You see, he needed the power of God to do the works of God. He needed power for his ministry. He needed power for his preaching. I believe that Peter got a spiritual adrenaline rush because Peter realized that Jesus Christ had the power to resurrect himself. The same Jesus had could give Peter the power to do some mighty works for God. Power in his preaching. Hey, Peter didn't realize it. Peter had no idea that there would come a day, not many months after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter would be called upon to preach on the day of Pentecost. Peter had no idea that God would call upon him, and that day Peter would see 3,000 people saved. Peter would have never seen 3,000 saved had he not claimed the power of the resurrection from many months before. I think when Peter got to the grave, Peter's running, he's racing, he's excited, he's jumping up and down, and I'm not talking about some charismatic that rolls in the aisle and they're just making motion. I'm talking about somebody that's doing something for God. I mean, actually doing something for God. Peter said, I want to serve Him. I want to do something with my life. And His resurrection empowers my life. Power for His soul winning. Power for His efforts in helping people. Power in the gospel music that was sung. Power in taking a stand when he would feel outnumbered. Power. Hey, you know what you should do? Some of you need to stop and realize that you can do something for God. Why? Look at the resurrection. If Jesus Christ could resurrect Himself from the grave, He has a power that's unique. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living right down inside you. And the Bible says there is power in the resurrection. It's like for some of you to just stop watching and influence somebody for Jesus. Make something happen for you, Jesus. You say, but Lord, I don't know if I could. By the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christians can do great works for God. Now you and I, we shouldn't try to do it in ourselves. We ought to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But Peter, I believe that day, Peter was cranked, Peter was pumped, Peter was energized, and he took off running. You say why? Because he was a servant of God that wanted to do great things for God, and the resurrection was the icing on the cake to say, Peter, now you can do it. There's proof you can do it. Because if Jesus can be resurrected from the dead, then your dead Christianity could be resurrected to productive Christianity. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, Peter, what's going on here? Some of you need to put on your Nike spiritual running shoes and run a lap for Jesus. Do something with your life. I'll tell you what, Brother Candy, I'm very proud of you. I've watched this guy come on. You don't know some of the things that he's been through. Things have not always been easy for him. Must have had 15 visitors here on Wednesday night. 15 visitors. Hey, introducing visitors again in the service this morning. I've got a feeling this guy's tried to lace on his running shoes. He's trying to get something done for God. Hey, you, what do you get excited about? There's somebody in, you wouldn't say amen in church if it were the last word you ever said, but you'll shout at a basketball game. Why? Because the ball's more important to you than Jesus. There's some people you wouldn't give up your season tickets for anything. But we can't get you to be faithful to church. You got to put your running shoes on for God. You got to want to take a lap for Jesus. You got to want to, hey, you got to stop and realize something. The resurrection, you know what we all like? We just want to admire the resurrection.
What a wonderful deep doctrine.
And there are dead, dry theologians and preachers everywhere this morning, boring their congregations to death. They have no spiritual adrenaline in them at all. The congregation saying, another sermon on the resurrection. Amen, preacher. See you next year. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. When I realize that I serve a risen Savior and He's in the world today, I realize that that's worth running about. That gets me excited. I get excited about the things of God. What? I don't serve a dead Savior. My God's not pot, beer, belly, Buddha. My God's a living God. My God's the one. He come up out of that grave, up from the grave. He arose. I've got a living God. That makes me want to do something, and you're going to wish you would have done something someday. Now, if you're saved, you're going to heaven, but somebody's going to get there and they start passing out the rewards, you're not going to get anything. Nothing worse than on Easter egg hunt to watch some little one get beat by everybody else and not get anything for their basket. You ever seen that? Oh, it's a bummer. Let me tell you what it's going to be like when some of you get to heaven. A bunch of Christians that have been out doing something for God, you're going to hold out your basket and the Lord's going to put rewards in it. But you ain't getting nothing. You won't be rewarded. Why? Oh, you believed in the resurrection to save you, but you didn't believe the resurrection. It didn't fire you up like it did Peter. You see, Peter was excited. Why? Because he would have power to serve God. That's what the resurrection does for you. You say, Brother Owens, you're a visitor here today. You say, oh, this church, I've heard, it's energized. Hey, I told you earlier, we don't only celebrate the resurrection one time a year. We celebrate it 365 days a year. You say, and some of you say, I'll tell you what, our church is just pumped all the time. Energized all the time. You say why? 365 days a year, we realize that we can do something for God. We're not just to serve God on Sunday. We're not just to serve God on Christmas. We're not just to serve God on Easter. We're going to do it all the time. That's why something happened around here. Why? We have a risen Savior 365 days a year. No wonder Peter got excited. No wonder not long after that, Peter has 3,000 people saved in one crack. Yeah. Hey, I see it. What's happening? Mary Magdalene, she said, I was a whore and He saved me, but He told me I could straighten up my life after salvation. And I wondered, I got to the tomb and it was empty. And I realized if He could overcome that, I could overcome what I needed with His help. Peter said, I got to the tomb and I realized I want to do something great for God with my life. When I realized that there was power in the resurrection, it will empower me to do something great for God. There's a third party that I see here at the tomb that is empty. The name is Salome. This is a woman's name. Mark chapter 16, verse number 8 says, and they went out quickly. And her name is mentioned here. What happened? Salome was there and she took off running just like everybody else. Salome was the wife of a man by the name of Zebedee. Zebedee had two sons, James and John. This lady by the name of Salome, she was there. She took off running. Why? Why was she cranked up? Why was she pumped up? Why did she have that spiritual adrenaline rush about the Savior being resurrected? I'll tell you why. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit one on the right hand, another on the left of thy kingdom. This woman was very concerned about her family. This woman was very concerned about her sons. She said, Jesus, I'd love it if my sons one day could sit to the right and to the left hand of you at your throne. You see, she was very interested in her children being successful. She was very interested in her family being successful. It's written through the scripture. Probably the greatest personality you see of this woman was her concern for her family. She was excited at that morning and the morning of the resurrection, and she ran because she believed the resurrection meant greater things for her family. It means Jesus could overcome death and the grave, and her family's problems could be overcome. Jesus could help her marriage overcome the damage that this world had caused it. Jesus could help her as a parent to raise godly children. The resurrection made Salome to run because it excited her that victory and the bad relationships throughout her family could be healed and overcome. Let me ask you a question today. Is your marriage dead or dying? Well, I've got good news for you. Jesus Christ arose from the grave. He arose from the grave, and you say, my marriage is just about gone, it's just about dead. Let me tell you, who can breathe life into your marriage? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Shalom, she went down there to that tomb, and here was a woman that was very consumed with rearing good kids and having a good marriage and having a good family, and all the one that had encouraged her had died, had been put in a grave. She goes down to see what's happening. She looks, the tomb, it's empty, the stone is rolled back, and she says, oh boy, there's more power in this thing than what I thought. Hey, I think I can do it. I think I can have a good marriage. I think I can rear good kids. I can rear my son. I can rear my daughter. I can put my family back together. She was excited because she knew that the resurrection would add power to whatever it was that needed to be done in life. You know what some of you need? Need to show up at church often enough so this old preacher can teach you this book so you can straighten out your marriage. If I had time, I could have marriage after marriage walk across this platform and testify to you this morning that it's sermons like these that have turned their marriage around. They were miserable. It was dead. It stank of the putridity of death. But God breathed life into it. God resurrected marriages here. God has resurrected husbands here. God has resurrected wives here. God has resurrected relationships between sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. You say, and I'll tell you something, you better get a concern about your family. You better get a concern about your family. I'm teaching on Wednesday nights at our church. Now, for the month of April, it's a little different because of our spring program. But boy, the minute May hits, we'll go back into teaching a series on childbearing. And you ought to be here every Wednesday night and learn how to rear your kids. You say, I don't think our situation is salvageable. And a lot of people didn't think Jesus was coming out of the grave. So I went down there and she said, chips are down. She looked in, she said, chips are up. We can do this. We can do this. And you can. Hey, mama, rearing your children alone, your husband forsook you. You said, Brother, I don't know if I can. Yes, you can. You say, why? If he could get up out of the grave, you can rear your kids for God. Hey, Daddy, rearing your kids alone, trying to be mama and daddy both at the same time. And oh, the frustration, and oh, the extra power, oh, the extra energy that it takes to do that. But let me tell you something. Some of you dads, you do indeed need power from the resurrection. You're doing it by yourself, but you can. Keep on running. Keep on running. Keep on running. You can do it. You can do it. Is your relationship with your child on life support? Nearing death? Well, I'll tell you who can resurrect it. Jesus. And so you know, everything I'm saying, I believe to the very center of my being. I'm not your entertainment preacher. I mean it. I mean every bit of it. I mean it. I mean it from the very innermost parts of my heart. And I also believe this is exactly what God wanted us to see. God wanted us to see, hey, there's a whore. She's running. Why? She can overcome. Hey, there's Peter, a servant of God. He was running. Why? Hey, he now had the power to serve God and do something great with his life. Here's Salome, concerned about her family. She's running. Why? She's excited about the possibility of what God could do in her family. He could restore marriage. He could restore relationships between children and dads and moms. It's exciting to me. Hear about the rednecks that died? Three rednecks died and arrived at heaven at the pearly gates. St. Peter tells them they can enter the gates if they can answer a few simple questions. St. Pete asked the first redneck, "What's Easter?" Redneck says, "Oh, that's easy. It's a holiday in November where everybody gets turkey." St. Pete said, "You dummy, that's Thanksgiving." He goes to the second redneck and he says, hey, he said, "What's Easter?" He said, this redneck says, "Well, that happens in December and we decorate up a tree and we give gifts about the birth of Christ." He said, "You dummy, that's Christmas." He goes to the third redneck and says, "What's Easter?" Third redneck smiles and says, "I know what Easter is. It's a Christian holiday. Jesus and his disciples were eating at the Last Supper and Jesus was deceived and turned over to the Roman soldiers by his disciples. The Romans took him and he was crucified and stabbed in the side and made to wear a crown of thorns and was hung on a cross, nails through his hands and nails through his feet. He was buried in a nearby tomb or a cave that was sealed off by a large boulder and guarded by a soldier." St. Pete smiled and said, "Wow." The third redneck continued. He said, "Every year the boulder is moved aside so that Jesus can come out, and if he sees his shadow, we'll have 6 more weeks of winter." The resurrection means different things to different people. Why were they running? It's not an accident they were running. These people individually had a reason to be excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says there was another Mary there. I think back then everybody named their kids Mary and John. I mean, boy, that's why you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They didn't know what to do with them. But the Bible says there was another Mary there. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 7 and 8, it uses this about Mary, that other Mary. She went quickly and did run. Now let's not miss one of the most important reasons for the excitement about the resurrection. You see, Mary had been grieving the loss of a loved one. She loved Jesus. Now you have Mary Magdalene, who was excited about the resurrection because of the victory over past life. Peter was excited about the resurrection. You say, why? Because he was a servant of God that would be empowered to do great works for God. Shalom was excited about the resurrection. Why? Because she knew it could bring victory and power to her family and her relationships. The other Mary was excited, and I'll tell you why. She was grieving the loss of Jesus Christ. She loved him. She loved him. He had died. Those of you that know about loving someone very much and then losing them, there's an emptiness that you feel. Mary had been grieving the loss of Jesus. She had been mourning the death of the one that she loved very much. Mary ran to the resurrection because the resurrection of Jesus meant that his prediction of others who had died resurrecting someday would definitely come true. Jesus had told them, those that die, if they're saved, they will be resurrected someday. And Mary, maybe she had had loved ones that had died, and there was a bit of depression in her life about that thing. And when she went down the morning of the resurrection and she looked in the tomb and the tomb was empty, she said, "Hey, he had told me there was a thing called resurrection from the dead." He said, and Mary probably said, "Oh my, he had told me that I'd see my mama again someday. He told me that I'd see my daddy again someday. He told me I'd see my grandma and my grandpa again someday. He told me I'd see my children again someday. I kind of had a hard time believing it." But old Mary, she said, "Look at this. He's gone. He's gone." You know what that means? It means I'm going to see my mama again someday. He didn't lie to me about the possibility of resurrection from the grave. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 21. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." There's coming a day when those of you that are saved will see those of yours that are saved that died. You'll see them again. You'll see him again. I look at a man over here. His wife suddenly passed away just a couple weeks ago. You'll see her again someday, my friend. You'll see her again. You're going to see her again. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. I think of the Pluck family down here this week. Suddenly, lost a baby. Just lost a baby. Dear faithful people from our church, let me encourage you. You'll see that baby again someday. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll see him again. You'll see him again. Maybe Mary, Mama, or Daddy, or maybe Mary had lost a child. You say, why is she running? She's thinking, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. A resurrection is possible. I will see my child again. We're talking about resurrection of the dead unto life in heaven. On the other shore, we will see him again. I was thinking of Mrs. Montgomery standing back here as a greeter at the back door. Mrs. Montgomery, let me tell you something. You will see your husband Ray again. We'll see. Oh, where are you at, Mrs. Montgomery? I'm looking all over. There she is. You'll see him again. And this would have been a day that Brother Ray would have liked, because all about candy. He's a candy man around here. He'd been standing at the back door passing out jelly beans to everybody. Well, he's in heaven today passing out jelly beans to little children up there. One of these days, you'll see him again someday. May one day we'll see Skippy again. Hey, because Jesus got up out of that grave, because they had victory over the grave. We'll see him again someday. Brother Tinsman, we'll see your wife again someday. Hey, there's all I could go. I could call the roll. I could call the roll. I was thinking this week, I was preaching at a conference, and as I sat in my seat preparing to close at the conference, I said to myself, now, I've got to do what I've been taught to do. I've got to do what I've been taught to do. How should I handle myself? And as I prepared my mind mentally to preach, I thought, what would my pastor for many, many years done? I thought of my pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, who passed away from a heart attack many years ago now. And I asked myself, am I behaving like I ought? Have I done what he's taught me to do? And I was on the way home from that conference on the airplane. I was about 37,000 feet in the air. And it occurred to me, I'm about as near heaven right now as I'm going to get until I get there. And then I thought, I'll see my old pastor again someday. I'll see him. I'm going to see him again. And all of a sudden, part of me said, I'd like to take a little bit of a run through this airport and through this airplane. I thought, I wonder what they'd think. What would they think? When they see me shoot toward the back of the plane, I'll tell you what they'd think. They think, I've got an emergency. Get out on the road! I just hope the little light doesn't say occupied. Mrs. Shepherd, you'll see Frank again someday. To the Clark family, you'll see that crop of folks that God took in what we would think a premature death. I'm just about done, but stay with me. Let me tell you one more thing. John was there at the time of the resurrection. John chapter 20, verse number 4, says, so they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter. This is John. John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. John was very close to Jesus. The Bible says that when John was around the resurrection, boy, he was fired up. He outran Peter. They were in a foot race, and John said, I want to be the first one there. You say, why? We see John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. This was a man that was consumed with the love of God. When John, he had accepted the fact that God loved him. And when he made it to the tomb, John outran Peter at the resurrection because he couldn't wait to get there and see if the one who said he would love him forever was going to live forever. It's hard to believe that somebody says, I'll love you forever, if they don't live forever, that they could possibly love you forever. When John reached the tomb and it was empty, I think John said, look at that. He got up out of the grave. He had promised me he would love me forever. Now, death did not get him down. He said, oh, boy, I got to tell somebody. God loves me. He always has loved me. He always will love me. My Jesus is alive. I'm loved by the love of God. And it's eternal. It is everlasting. It is never ending. It is unquenchable. It is unstoppable. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was Jesus saying to you, I love you. I love you. I'll get up out of this grave. Why? He said, I'll get up out of this grave for those of you that have been saved that have bad past. I'll prove to you we can make you a good life. I love you. For those of you that want to do something great with your life for God, He comes to you and He says, I love you. I'll get up out of the grave. I'll do what's hard so you'll have the confidence to go into life and do what's easy. He said, I love you. I love your family. I'll give you confidence to have a good family. He said, I love you. He said, I love you and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to make sure that you understand that the loss of loved ones is not a loss forever. They're in heaven and they'll be fine. And he comes along and he said, I love you. I love you, John. I love you. I'm finished, but let me make a very brief application.
If you knew the story, according to Matthew chapter 27, verse number 65 and 66, when they initially put Jesus Christ in the grave, the leader at that time by the name of Pilate had posted a soldier outside the tomb. Now, when you go looking at this entire story, those soldiers really can't be anywhere to be found at this point. The disciples are running crazy because of the empty tomb, but they had posted a soldier outside the tomb because they didn't want somebody to come by and steal the body, and then the disciples would lie and say he resurrected, but there was a soldier there. The Bible says that right before Jesus, whenever the resurrection exactly took place, but right before it there was an earthquake, and the stone rolled away, but the soldiers were gone. I looked. They ran, I think. I mean, you feel an earthquake, and a stone rolls away, and you look in the guy that you were guarding all night long, and he's gone, I'd say they freaked out. I'd be saying, I'm out of here. I'm changing jobs tomorrow morning. I ain't doing this no more. They didn't teach me this in the police academy. Let me tell you something. Those soldiers were unsaved. They ran from the resurrection. Everybody else ran to it. Let me tell you, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, get saved and everything I've talked to you about today is yours. It's all available to you. It's all available. Don't run from Him. Get saved. Don't run from Him. Get saved. Run to Him. If you've never trusted Christ, we invite you to the Savior. You see, I kind of stay excited about God. About every day I wake up and I feel about like this. If you ask my wife, about the last thing I say to her every morning before I get in my car to drive away from the house, I say, baby, let's go make something happen. What energizes you? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living. No matter to me what men may say. 365 days a year. That's the Christ I serve. If you're not saved, I invite you to Him today. If you are saved, I invite you to the victory that the resurrection makes available. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.